Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast with your host, Funk Roberts. Funk has co-authored the best-selling book, Rapid Body Makeover. He is a master metabolic trainer, has been interviewed as a fitness expert on NBC, ABC, and CBS affiliates, and has a dedicated following of over 1.5 million people worldwide. With this podcast, Funk is dedicated to helping men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond to regain their manhood and reach their highest potential through fitness, health, nutrition, mindset, and becoming over 40 alpha men. Join me in welcoming your host, Funk Roberts.
What's up, my brother? And welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast. This is episode number 19. And I want to thank you so much for spending your time with me. I truly do appreciate it. I am your host, Funk Roberts, and I'm here to help men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond get in the best shape, the best health, and the best fitness of their lives through mindset, through recovery strategies, through nutrition, through workouts, and by boosting your testosterone levels. And today, I'm super excited. This is a special edition. The reason why it's a special edition is because today is March the 15th. And if you don't know, March 15th, 2019 is World Sleep Day. And, we actually didn't plan on this, but it just ended up that today's podcast is with Dr. Dom. You know her. She's amazing, Dr. Dominica. She's absolutely incredible. Naturopathic doctor, and we are focusing today and talking about sleep and the importance of sleep just for men in our 40s and our middle age and our 50s and our 60s or 70s. Sleep to our testosterone, sleep in regards to our mood and our energy and our hormones and our how we talk about so much in this episode. It's amazing how guys who work shift work can really get great sleep and people with sleep disorders and sleep apnea and what you guys need to do. And I figure, you know what, today's a perfect day to launch this podcast, a perfect day for us to talk about this, because it is World Sleep Day and it is a celebration, you know, of sleep and the call to action on how important sleep is. And guys, when it comes to your health, when it comes to fitness, when it comes to fat loss, sleep is massive. When it comes to testosterone, sleep is gigantic. Man, we need 7 to 9 hours of sleep. And we're going to talk about how to get that and talk about why we need that in a second with Dr. Dom. But it is so important. I can't tell you how important it is, specifically because no matter how much you work out, no matter even how amazing your nutrition is, that if your sleep isn't on point, you're still not going to get those results. I could give you the best nutrition plan. Specifically, guys in my brotherhood have the best nutrition plan for men over the 40, 50, 60, 70, eating a testosterone-based metabolism-boosting plan that helps you burn fat, build muscle, boost testosterone, keep all the cortisol and all the other hormones at bay. And you have the best workouts that'll help you, again, build muscle, burn fat, have energy. You have all of that. You have it all. But if your sleep is not on point, you will still not get results. You will still bonk at your results. You'll still be like, man, why am I doing everything right that Funk is telling me in regards to nutrition and workouts, but I'm still not seeing the weight loss. And it's because of your sleep. Once you get that sleep on point, once you just turn that sleep up, man, it's like literally everything is going to fall off. Or if you're trying to build muscle, you're going to build more muscle. Or if it's about energy, you're going to have better energy. Or if it's sleep apnea or what a sleep disorder you have, that you're going to be able to sleep better because of all the other things that you're doing. But you're also focusing on the behaviors that are going to help you sleep. The behaviors that we're going to teach you with this episode. So man, I'm really, really excited. I didn't even want to talk to you about, a sponsor for this episode, which is always my Over 40 Alpha. So guys, listen, I want you to pause this and I want you to go, if you're not part of the brotherhood, part of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, probably 1,000 by men by now, who are literally changing their lives, like in 30 days, they're losing 10 pounds, they're gaining muscle, more energy, testosterone levels are going up, they're losing body fat percentage, like it's insane. The and just working out 3 to 4 days a week, following a nutrition plan, following my sleep plan and recovery plan, and getting a better mindset. Listen, there's nothing out there that's focused on men over 40, 50, 60, 70, specifically for you guys. There's nothing out there that I know of that's a full health and fitness plan and journey, because this is a long journey. I'm not just giving you a program and leaving you. Like, literally, we have the Facebook group. We're in there. I'm coaching you every single week. We're getting on a Zoom call, conference call, video call, and I'm coaching you through, asking your questions. I told you about the Facebook group. We're always in there. People are supporting each other like crazy. You have an app, so if you travel or you don't have a computer, just use the workouts on the app. Like, everything you need. And I'm here to support. Your brothers are there to support, or in the brotherhood, the Over 40 Alpha Brotherhood. You have everything. You need new workouts every single month. So you never get bored, but the workouts are there to support and boost your testosterone levels and help you lose fat. Like, you're literally gonna transform your life, not even your body, your life, because it teaches you life, how to be an Over 40 Alpha male. And you're gonna get that at over40alpha.com/trial, T-R-I-A-L. That's where you're going to do your 7-day trial. Or you can, some guys just say, you know what? I'm there. I'm ready. Just give me the 90-day membership, or give me the 6-month membership, because it's a 12-month process, right? But some people are like, you know what? Let me just try this out. Give me 7 days. Let me try it out. There's bonus programs in there. There's, like I said, there's workouts, there's nutrition, there's sleep recovery, there's stretching and yoga, there's mindset stuff as well. Plus, I've got like other workout programs in there, body weight programs, over 40 muscles about to launch. We've got belly fat shred. We've got ab workouts, which are actually you do all the time, ab and core. Anyways, everything you need is there. Go to over40alpha.com/trial. That's over40alpha.com/trial. So slash meaning forward slash T-R-I-A-L. Not trail, trial. And listen, I'm telling you, 100%. Once you get in there and you just sign, like you say, okay, I want to start this trial. And I want to literally go through everything, see the workout, see what's all about. Okay, you're going to be like, okay, you know what? I'm ready to do this. Once you're ready, though. Only when you're ready. I can't force you to be ready. You need to be ready. But when you're ready, you are going to get results. 100%. Not even a question. Like, I 100%. And we also teach you about sleep, which is what we're going to talk about today with Dr. Dom. We're going to talk about the importance of sleep for men over 40, 50, 60, 70, beyond. So enjoy this on World Sleep Day and get your sleep. Peace. We are live. We are live. We are live, everybody. And welcome to National Sleep Day. We are recording this podcast with the amazing, incredible Dr. Dominica. How are you doing, Dr. Dominica?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Fantastic. Today is National Sleep Day, so it makes sense that we talk about probably one of the most important, I think it's probably one of the most important aspects of just general health, but specifically for men and women, over 40, well, for men, definitely testosterone. If you want to boost testosterone, you got to sleep, period, end of story. And for women, for everyone else too, you need sleep. But Dr. Dom's going to talk, we're going to talk sleep, right?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Alistair McCaw, he's a sports performance consultant. He says that the most powerful performance enhancer and the foundation where all athletic success lies is sleep.
Totally.
We don't give it as much credit as we should. And it's the third pillar of health after diet and exercise. And yet arguably it's the most undervalued pillar of health. So if you're not sleeping, everything that you do during your waking hours will never be 100%.
Right. And you know, people always come up with the excuse, you know, I'm too busy, or I'm a night owl, or, you know, all of this stuff that happens. What do you think, what attributes to all that, you think?
Like, I think we do live in a culture that feels, or that believes unconsciously, that sleeping is for wimps.
Yeah.
Right? That you're somehow not motivated, you're not driven, you're somehow lazy. I always laugh because there's there's a song, I think it's from like the 70s or 80s, like, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Oh, yeah. Enough rappers to say that already.
What's that?
Enough rappers say that in their
Yeah, and so there's sort of belief that, you know, sleep is a waste of time, and if you can do without, that you should. And in fact, the sleep serves such an absolutely vital function that the process of evolution would not have selected for it if it wasn't as vital as it is.
Right.
Okay. Right. It serves three main purposes, which is restorative. So, for example, we hear about melatonin all the time. People think melatonin, they think taking it to fall asleep. That's true. But the body produces melatonin on its own, and it's kind of like a vacuum cleaner. Right. So it's literally, it's released into the body, and melatonin neutralizes bacterial byproducts, viral byproducts. It, you know, contributes to cellular repair. So if you're not sleeping, you're not doing all of those things. You're essentially contributing to body breakdown.
Right.
Right. From a mental health standpoint and cognitive health standpoint, if you're not sleeping, you're not storing memories. You're not contributing to good concentration. You're affecting your mood, right? And stress management goes out the window, right? And then lastly, sleep is actually designed to help you conserve energy so that you're not operating on a 24-hour day cycle. You have to conserve energy at some point. And that's what sleep was evolutionarily designed to do.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back to the melatonin thing, because so people understand, you know, right now melatonin is a really popular supplement because it helps people sleep. And I don't think people understand that melatonin is produced by our bodies, produce that at night.
That's right.
When we are, you know, on our phones or on the computer or what have you, you know, something that's very active late at night, then our melatonin levels aren't being produced. Melatonin's not being produced like it needs to be. It's actually cortisol that's blocking it, because we're like, you know, we're on our phones or we're on the computer, you know what I mean? Like
so
we're artificially taking the melatonin, right?
That's right. So we know based on, there's a lot of research that goes into melatonin with the Canadian Army,
right.
Military, just because they'll do shift, they work for different hours. But we know that the human body on average produces about 300 micrograms of melatonin over the course of a night.
Ooh, okay. What does that mean?
In terms of amounts, because yeah, I know when people will dose melatonin, they'll take significantly higher supraphysiological doses.
Right, okay.
In order to produce 300 micrograms, which seems like not very much, we need to have complete darkness.
Right, okay.
Okay, so melatonin is produced in response to lack of light.
Oh,
The constant exposure to artificial light, namely from electronic screens like our phones, our iPads, our computers, and even our televisions, blunts our body's ability to make melatonin. So it isn't until you turn that screen off that you start producing melatonin 1 to 2 hours after the fact.
Wow. Okay. So okay. People that are like my wife, I'm outing her right now, who that's what she says she needs to go to sleep.
Yes.
Is her iPad.
And the very thing that she needs to go to sleep is the very thing that's preventing her from achieving restorative deep sleep.
Right, right. So her sleeps aren't the best.
Yeah.
But she does take melatonin. So, you know, and I have taken it in the past too, so.
Yes. And so, I mean, taking melatonin can help to even out the negative effects of that type of thing. But ultimately what we need to be doing is addressing our lifestyle.
Right.
And so it takes about 5 to 6 hours for the body to metabolize the melatonin that it's made. So for example, if you're going to bed at 11, but you're on your phone and you don't start producing melatonin until 2 hours later, that's 1 a.m., but you got to be up and running at 5, 6 a.m.
Mm.
Well, no wonder you're groggy.
Right, right.
No wonder, you know, you're still half comatose and you're not waking up till 7, 8, 9 a.m. And you're like, I need that. It's because I'm caffeine deficient. No, it's not. It's because you were on your phone too late at night.
You know what? That totally makes sense, because whenever I wake up from taking melatonin, I'm I feel like I'm just so groggy. But that's because the body, it takes hours for the body to metabolize that.
That's
so
right.
Metabolize, I'm awake.
Exactly. So
pretty much.
And that's why when we take an oral dose of melatonin,
yeah,
it doesn't peak in our system until 1 to 2 hours after. So when I do recommend melatonin to my patients in my practice, I actually have them take it 60 to 120 minutes, so 1 to 2 hours before their set bedtime.
Okay, very good. I like that. Huge. That's huge for
For melatonin. And you don't have to be taking 5-10 milligrams, which is what some of my patients are taking. You just want to take a dose that is just enough to tell the body that it's bedtime.
Right, right.
So you can get doses as little as 400 micrograms. I often don't recommend any more than 1 milligram unless there's a health condition that warrants it.
Okay. So melatonin, we want to, you can supplement with it. Easier and better to supplement with a lower dose than what you get at, like, you know, the drugstore, and then also take it 2 hours before. But it's all about the your habits. It's all about your behaviors. You don't want to rely on the melatonin and then still be on your phones or what
have
you.
That's right.
All the way till the, you know, while you're in bed trying to sleep.
That's right.
You know, gotta start knocking that off so you don't need the melatonin, right?
Exactly. Melatonin supplement is not carte blanche for bad behavior.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, okay. So that's what we want, guys. We want to make sure that our behaviors are not like we still need supplements for some things, but definitely for sleep, we want to make sure that it's as natural as possible and we stop those behaviors. And the next thing you talked about was energy. And again, you guys know as much as I do that, you know, when you don't get enough sleep, your energy levels are low, your workouts suck, your the way you are at work, and your ability to you know, work efficiently sucks. If you're a driver, because I have a lot of drivers, I mean, come on, when you don't get enough sleep, you know, your driving, you know, gets affected. Shift work people, we'll talk about that later, but so the energy and your just production is
not to mention one night of interrupted sleep makes you like a crybaby the next day. So what I mean by that is you're more likely to be feeling anxious or triggered in otherwise neutral situations. So if you're a leader of your company, like if you're if you got to be operating at high velocity, you can't afford to be off of your game.
Totally.
And lack of sleep will make you more anxious, more distracted, and more reactive rather than responsive. You're more reactive and impulsive rather than responsive and conscious in your decision making.
Yeah, and that boils over to your family too. I mean, like if you're a dick to your family all the time and you're not getting enough sleep and your kids are pissed off at you and your wife's pissed off at you and or your manager at work or your coworkers, and you're not getting enough sleep, that's probably what it is. Like for me, I have to go to bed early. Like, you know, I get up at 4:30, you know, sometimes 5. And that just means I have to be in bed sleeping. Usually it's on the couch. I'm usually out by 9.
Right.
And if, unless I'm shooting something or like there's a project that we're really on and I have to, you know, there's 3 or 4 days where I'm only getting 4 hours, but I know that, okay, there's only a few days that I'm going to be doing this in a row. I need to be up. You know, and I know that, you know, these are the effects that my body's going to take.
Yeah.
Right. I know that that's going to happen because of lack of sleep. I know that I'm going to put on a bit of weight, all of this stuff that happens.
Yeah.
But I don't make it, you know, a habit to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're good at sort of policing yourself. You know, we have to be mindful of bad habits. Like, okay, it's okay. I'm going to have this bad habit during the week, but I'll make up for it on the weekend. And it actually doesn't work that way. You can't bank your sleep.
No, definitely not. Definitely
right?
not.
Right. And it completely throws off your circadian rhythm. And and we're going to talk about this in a second, but for example, so melatonin, if you do take it as a supplement, it only actually affects the first half of your sleep. It won't actually affect the second half of your sleep. And the second half of your sleep is crucial in men for testosterone production.
Beautiful.
Because testosterone needs 3 hours of uninterrupted sleep in the second half of the sleep phase, right? So let's just say the last 4 hours of sleep, that has to be of really high quality.
Yeah.
And so if you're sleeping 4 hours, well, you're not even creating an opportunity for really good sleep quality in order to be producing high amounts of testosterone.
Yeah, I was just reading about a study that was done that showed that men who had 4 hours sleep, mm-hmm. had their testosterone levels hovering around 200 to 300. Mm-hmm. Men that had 8 hours sleep had testosterone levels around 5 to 700.
That's right.
Like three times the amount of testosterone production just having 4 more hours of sleep.
Exactly.
So if you have low testosterone, you know, even aside from like the fat loss and everything else, just low testosterone, the very first thing you can control is sleep.
100%. So right? There was one study, well, mind you, it was a small one. It was conducted in young adult males. And they had them sleep 5 hours only for 8 days straight. And in these young, healthy males, their testosterone dropped by 10 to 15%.
Wow. And that's young guys.
Right. They're fresh. They're young. They're peak performance, right? So we know that about 15% of the general population isn't sleeping well.
Right.
So what does that mean for their testosterone levels?
I know. Plummeting.
Plummeting.
Naturally our testosterone levels plummet 1% to 2% every year after we reach the age of 30. So already we're behind the eight ball. So now and then when you're not sleeping, you're throwing yourself way behind that eight ball.
That's right.
Specifically because you can control it. Naturally, you can't control it. That's just what's happening. But now we got to do things that we can control. Sleep is one of them.
Yeah. And so Oxford University conducted a study that found that we're basically sleeping 25% less than we were 40 years ago.
Right.
So on an 8 hour sleep cycle, we're now sleeping 6 hours.
Right. So just an extra 1 to 2 hours makes a massive difference. Massive.
Yeah.
Right.
And we know, 6 to 7 hours of uninterrupted sleep. So that's, I'm not even talking about interrupted sleep. If you're just sleeping 6 hours of uninterrupted sleep, you are at higher risk for developing diabetes, heart disease, certain types of cancer, weight gain, and inflammation. And why? Because you're making less melatonin. You're producing more cortisol. You have increased appetite after insufficient sleep.
Right.
You have increased body fat, plus you burn less fat.
Yeah.
Okay. You lose your ability to regulate insulin and immune dysregulation. So we say that one night of disrupted sleep increases your chances of developing a cold by 400%.
Right. So if you're one of those people who always have, who's all sick, I'm always sick.
Exactly.
I mean, there are so many different things that come down to your nutrition, your, you know, lack of exercise, your foods you eat, or don't eat, et cetera. But sleep is huge. Like all of that, just like, you know what I mean? All of this stuff, when you just neglect your own health.
Yeah.
And you know, it's incredible.
And gentlemen, you can expect a 2 pound weight gain over the course of your lifetime per year. When you're chronically sleep deprived. So this was a study conducted in 60,000 nurses over a 16-year period. So at the start of the study, their BMI was less than 25. They were all, you know, they controlled for exercise, age, things like that. After 16 years, they gained on average 30 pounds.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So after six, so then if you think, okay, well, if nurses are working 30 years, because that's the duration of their careers, then they can expect a 60-pound weight gain.
Wow.
That's over huge. The course of their lifetime.
That's huge. If they're not taking, you know, that's just generally with the way they work and
shift work, all of that, right? Yeah. Wow. And so you can be doing all of the things that Funk Roberts tells you to do in the gym, but basically poor sleep will negate any health benefits from your exercise program.
There you go. And okay. You know, I always say you can't out-train a bad diet, but you can't out-sleep. I don't know. We got to try to figure something out. You can't out-train a bad diet. So no matter how much you're in the gym,
and
you know, if your diet sucks, you will never get the result. But if you
out-train your bad sleep.
Exactly. you can't out-sleep a bad nutrition. I don't know. You can't work out and nutrition a bad sleep. Anyways, you guys get the
point. Basically, you're saying you can't cut corners.
No, you can't cut corners. Sleep's got to be something that you focus on. One of the good, cool things that and I may be fast forwarding, but it doesn't matter. We're just having a conversation. But one of the amazing things that I see in the brotherhood, in our over 40 Alpha Brotherhood, is that guys are always like, oh, I'm sleeping better because of the change in their lifestyle, the work, the exercise, the nutrition. You know, now they're like, okay, now I'm starting to sleep better. Now they start to take it more serious.
That's right.
It's like, okay, now I'm naturally sleeping better because of all the other things that I'm doing. Now I really want to get good sleep. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Now I know that it's possible, because some guys think it's not possible.
Right.
We think, well, you know what? I'm a night owl. So, and I've been like this since I was 12. So I can never change, or I have shift work and this is the way it is. When you know, but then all of a sudden they start eating better and they start exercising better and they start drinking more water, and then their sleep starts to get better, and they're like, oh my God, you know what? I can get good sleeps. Now I'm going to even go to bed a little bit earlier because I don't want to lose what I have.
Exactly. And they're motivated.
Right? Yeah. I don't want to lose it. And I know that sleep's got to be a big part of it. So I'm going to really focus on getting better sleep so I can function better throughout the day and everything. It's incredible. I love, like, they'll just write things down like, oh, my sleep's better. And it's incredible, you know, but it's just,
and sleep insufficiency, sleep disruption, lack of restorative sleep is the number one risk factor for all cause mortality.
Right.
Dying from any cause. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we concern ourselves about, you know, particularly when it comes to women and hormone replacement therapy, that increases risk of heart attack and stroke. While I would say that the risk is minimal, I want my women to be sleeping more than anything. And if I can facilitate sleep, that reduces the risk of dying from any cause.
Right, right.
Right? So sleep is really, really crucial. Huge. For children, adolescents, and adults alike.
Everyone. So, okay. So then the third thing you talked about was stress. No, you said there were three things: melatonin, energy, and I can't remember. But there was the third thing. You know, energy levels go down definitely, but your mood is affected too.
Oh yes, yes.
You know, mood's huge when you don't have sleep. And again, I was saying, like, you know, you can be a dick to your family, to people at work, whatever. And that's that mood thing, right? Like, you got to get that sleep.
Exactly. So even your ability to store memories.
Right. That's it. Yeah.
Short and long term.
Right.
That's one of the things that people, you know, my patients told me, I'm not remembering things. You know, I'm like walking into a room. I mean, this is more often, you know, with women, but men as well. You know, they're doing a task and then they get kind of distracted. Like, oh, this is a new symptom. Mm. All right. Tell me a little bit about your sleep.
Right.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with my sleep. I'm like, well, how many hours are you sleeping? Because maybe there is something going on with your sleep.
Right.
Right. And that's,
yeah. I like how you just said that. Like, people's reactions, oh, nothing's wrong with my sleep.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping 3 hours a day, 4 hours. Like,
but I'm okay. I'm okay because I'm drinking enough caffeine to get me through the day.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's problematic.
Wow.
Erectile dysfunction in sleep.
Okay.
There's a correlation there. So we all know erectile dysfunction is inability to attain or, you know, keep a hard on, right? That is what a man would deem satisfactory.
Yeah.
And we know that erectile dysfunction is related to circulatory problems, neurological problems, psychological problems, hormone problems, and even medication. But how often are we actually talking about erectile dysfunction in the context of sleep?
Interesting.
So sleep apnea, shift work, restless legs, and any kind of disruption from sleep is actually associated with erectile dysfunction. But we're not necessarily asking about that.
Right, right.
Okay, so any man who comes in, he's like, you know what, my erections are less strong, or I'm not able to achieve erection as quickly as I would like. We have to be asking about sleep.
Right. Okay. Let's jump to disorders, because I get a lot of people who will say, well, you know, I've got insomnia, or I have sleep apnea, or I have sleep disorders. What? And they take, I don't know what drugs are out there for that stuff. I don't know enough about that, but talk to us about that. What's causing that? Can we change that?
So it really all depends. Like, if we're talking about erectile dysfunction due to the circulatory problems, then we got to look upstream from there, which we're probably looking at diabetes. We're probably looking at blood pressure problems. We're probably looking at metabolic syndrome and inflammation, right? So to get at the boners, we got to look at the at the metabolic health.
Okay, no, but aside from the boners, I'm just talking in general. Like when people have sleep disorders, people have sleep apnea, people have insomnia, can they naturally change that to get better sleep?
So if they've got sleep apnea, the number one cause of sleep apnea is overweight obesity.
Okay. Okay.
So they have to lose the weight.
Right. Okay.
And I'll tell you, as little as 5% weight loss is enough to improve the sleep apnea index.
Right. So a lot of people email me about that. They're like, well, I got sleep apnea, so it's hard for me to sleep. But I don't see them, right? I don't see, they're just emailing me, right?
That's
right. They're not telling I weigh 300 pounds or 250 pounds, or whatever. They're just, I got sleep apnea, so this is going to be too hard for me or whatever.
Yes. So the short-term treatment for that is using the CPAP machine.
Right.
But the long-term plan is they have to lose the weight.
Right. So what's happening is men who are overweight have sleep apnea.
Yes.
The first thing they do is they go to their doctor or whomever they go to or wherever they buy that, and they just use that. They don't even worry about the weight loss. They just use that and just continue along with whatever they're doing and use that to say, oh yeah, I've got sleep apnea. And they'll post it on Facebook. Oh, I've got sleep apnea. I'm using this thing and, you know, feel bad for me and all this shit. Instead of standing up going, I have sleep apnea because I'm overweight. I need to lose this weight and I need to lose it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we also know it is safe to assume that if you have sleep apnea, then your T is low.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Right? Not even a question. Not even a question.
Exactly. And so everything is just so interrelated.
Yes.
That we can't be looking through a keyhole onto the other side and assuming that we understand the whole picture. We got to swing that door open and say, what are you doing here?
What are you eating?
How are you sleeping? What's the exercise like? You know, what are you taking? Medications and so forth.
I get goosebumps whenever I think about this. And when we first talked about me doing this the program, and I told you how I was doing it naturally with workouts, nutrition, recovery, sleep, and mindset. And you were just like, that's exactly the way to do it, because we're hitting all the different things. I'm teaching everyone all the different things that, because you just said, you can't just look through the keyhole. It's everything. It's not your sleep apnea is because of overweight, which is because of the nutrition that you're eating, because of the lack of exercise, because of your testosterone levels. Like, it's all like, it
that's
just,
right.
But once you get one, and then let's work on exercise. Let's work on better nutrition. Let's try to, then the sleep will get better, and then your testosterone levels will raise. And then, you know what I mean? Like, it's just.
That's right. We even have to consider medication.
Right. I know.
So medications will disrupt sleep. So the following medications disrupt sleep. If you're on an antiarrhythmia drug for heart rhythm problems.
Right.
That will disrupt sleep. Beta blockers.
Okay.
And diuretics, also known as the water pill.
Yes.
Can disrupt sleep. Corticosteroids. So those are your asthma inhalers.
Yeah.
Or prednisone taken orally will disrupt sleep.
Yeah.
Certain cough, cold, and flu medication.
Really?
Certain antihistamines. Headache medication that contains ibuprofen or caffeine.
Of course. Okay.
Antidepressants. Attention deficit disorder medication.
Right.
And thyroid medication. All of those have the possibility of disrupting your sleep.
Right. And if you take any of those, you really have to focus on the habits that will help you get sleep, right?
Exactly. So sometimes it may just be a timing thing.
Right.
Sometimes it could be a...
When you say timing, what do you mean by timing?
Certain timing of when you take the medication.
Okay. Right.
Right. So that could really help with your sleep.
Right.
Sometimes it's a dose thing, in which case you got to be speaking to your prescribing physician and getting your friendly neighborhood pharmacist to collaborate with your doctor to determine, is there a lower dose that will be equally as effective but will help to reduce any sleep disruption?
Sure. So timing meaning what time of day do you take it? Or if you're taking it before sleep, it may affect you. If you take it earlier in the morning or what have you, may be better. And then dosage as well.
dosage as well. Yeah. And then of course, 100% what you're doing throughout the day and what you're eating and supplements and exercise will either exacerbate the problem or trigger it. Right. So you are responsible for those other factors.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So let's go to, so I have a lot of shift workers. So right now we're just talking about, you know, we just kind of went over what will happen with lack of sleep. Mm-hmm. We talked about melatonin. And, you know, I have a lot of shift workers at work. So how do we figure that out? I guess that's related to the circadian rhythm. And
so in shift workers, so we're talking about our firefighters, our police officers, nurses, doctors.
Or just guys who work shift, you know,
workers. Yeah, as well. Exactly. Yeah. Their circadian rhythm is off. So essentially what they have to do is they have to mimic a nighttime sleep.
Okay.
And the rule still applies to them. 8 hours of sleep whenever possible. And I have my shift workers taking melatonin as soon as they get home.
Okay.
From their shift.
Right.
You know, they brush their teeth, they eat something really quickly, and then I have them lights out, curtains drawn, and sleeping those 7-8 hours if possible.
Right. So off, not coming home. And what about working out when they get home?
It depends. It doesn't matter. So sometimes they come home from a shift and they're not tired at all. So you can't force it.
Right.
But they have to recreate a sleep cycle at some point in that day.
Yeah. So, so you're coming home. So you work 6 days, 7 days of one shift.
Yeah.
Right. And you come home, you mimic that whole sleep cycle. Maybe you're working nights, so you come home in the morning and you've got to figure all that out. Maybe you work out, maybe you just come home and take your melatonin or take your sleep supplement. And then, lights are out, curtains drawn, phones are off, and you just kind of get yourself into that sleep pattern.
Yeah.
You sleep for 8 hours and then you wake up and do, you know, your meals are prepared, what have you. You're just turned around. You're just like you're in Australia. If you're living in North America, then you're in Australia. Now, what if that changes? Because my wife is a shift worker. She's three different shifts. So what if, I'm working nights now, 2-3 days off or whatever it is. Now I'm flipping my script and now I'm working days.
Yeah. So most people will simply have to, you know, create a routine for themselves where they might just be shifting things over by maybe 4 hours.
Right.
To really prevent like massive swings in circadian rhythm, because it takes a few days to then get back on that routine before they can get back on. So usually they'll just, you know, move 4 hours here and there. Perhaps they may be going to bed at 6, 7, 8 p.m.
Right.
that day, which seems awfully early, but that's essentially what you need to do to reestablish a circadian rhythm.
Which is what my wife does. She just, you know, this is how I put it. You're a shift worker and there's really nothing you can do to say that you're going to get 8 hours, like you're going to get 8 hours, but there's nothing you can do to try to be on the same schedule as someone who just works 9 to 5. Like that's the work that you chose. And so now you're that you're the shift worker. So now your whole life, and most shift workers already understand this.
Yes.
It's just like, this is your life. So now you have to create your own routine where, you know, you're in shift work and
you cannot afford to cut corners.
No, but I was about to say your margin of error is even more slight, right?
Exactly.
Like, I'm on shift work, and you know, they don't use it as an excuse, although there's a lot of people who do use it as an excuse. Oh, I work shift work, so that's why. No. You just, now you're not saying it's harder.
Yeah.
It's just your margin of error.
Correct.
Is a little less.
Narrower, that's right.
You really need to plan. Like, my wife is the queen of planning and preparing.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, okay, I'm coming up on my days. I need to cook. I need to have all my meals prepared and ready to go. I have to change my Muay Thai training to this time. This is when I go to sleep, so I can, you know what I mean? Like, oh, now I'm working nights and now my Muay Thai's got to change to here. I've got to, like, it's all clockwork, right? Like, it's
exactly
the same thing. She knows what's important to her in her life, so she shifts her priorities, but she always plans and prepares her meals before. Always. Like, that's number one for her. It's like, yeah. Gotta have my meals planned. I gotta have big lunch bag. And then when she gets home, she has to mimic the sleep, right? Like, just in her bed, you know, curtains well drawn as much as they can be. And she sleeps, you know, and that's it. And then the 3 days off or 4 days off or 5 days off, depending on whatever, you know, the 2 days before she starts to mimic what's going to happen in the next 7 days, right?
That's right. Yeah. And if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, yeah. Right? And so it's crucial to have all of those variables accounted for success.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because what I was going to say is I think there's – so even in shift workers, we can – account for and support and optimize hormonal health.
Okay, right. Okay.
Right. So it's important to understand how hormones work. So hormones are a network of signals that are secreted by one organ into the circulatory system to try to communicate with another organ or other tissue. That's how they communicate, right? So if my brain needs to communicate with my adrenal glands or my thyroid, it has to secrete hormones into circulation. That's the way that it communicates, okay? It's really important for people to understand that hormones don't happen to you. You happen to your hormones.
Okay.
So your stress, the environment in which you are living, the stage of life that you're in, your exercise, so how much you exercise, the intensity of exercise, timing of exercise, your diet and your sleep will dictate and orchestrate your hormones.
Right.
And so when we look at hormones in blood work, we don't say, oh, your insulin is high. Let's get that insulin high. The question is, why is it high? What is it about your stress, your environment, your exercise, your diet, your sleep, your medication that could be driving that insulin to rise?
Makes sense.
Okay, so you are happening to your hormones and not the other way around.
Right.
And then that's when you have to become responsible for that. Okay, yeah. So hormones are produced by organs. So the pancreas produces hormones, the ovaries in women, testes in men, the adrenal glands, the thyroid. Those are sources of production. And then the body will transform hormones based on need. So, for example, fat, if you have fat in your man, that fat tissue will take the testosterone that you've made and convert it to estrogen.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Bad.
So excess body fat will convert testosterone to estrogen. If you consume alcohol,
thank you.
Alcohol will convert testosterone to estrogen.
Yes.
Okay.
Bad.
Estrogen is metabolized by your liver. Okay, so if you're drinking alcohol, your testosterone is being produced to estrogen, so you have too much estrogen in the body, but then your alcohol is affecting your liver function. Yeah. So then your liver's ability to metabolize estrogen is compromised. And if you don't have regular bowel movements, if you tend to be on the constipated side, well, your bowels are responsible for eliminating estrogen.
Right.
So now there's the alcohol that increases estrogen, your liver's inability to get rid of it fast enough, and then your bowels have it sitting around longer than it's supposed to.
And that's just one example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. No alcohol is the best amount of alcohol.
Exactly.
And then occasional any other time.
Yeah. That's what I preach. I preach that 100%. And circadian. So, can you explain that a bit?
So the circadian rhythm is, got two phases. It's wake and sleep.
Okay.
And the wake cycle starts about 1 to 2 hours before you wake up, and it's triggered by a rise in cortisol.
Right.
So the highest amount of your stress hormone cortisol will be 1 to 2 hours before you're awake. And that's by design to get you going and getting ready for the day's activities. As the day goes on, your cortisol level comes down. And as your cortisol levels coming down and light starts to come down, melatonin goes up. Okay, so cortisol and melatonin are opposing hormones.
Yes.
Okay, so your cortisol is your waking hormone, your melatonin is your sleeping hormone. Okay?
Yeah, and so what's happening a lot of times is men's cortisol levels are high when they're going to sleep.
That's right. That's right. So we could have different patterns of cortisol secretion in the body. So an otherwise healthy person who only experiences short bouts of stress will have a slight increase in cortisol, but then that comes down after a few hours and it stays down.
Right.
As soon as we're exposed to chronic stress, then we are producing cortisol on a chronic basis. Yeah. So cortisol can rise in the morning and stay elevated throughout the entire day.
Yeah.
So if it's staying elevated closer to bedtime, well, guess what? You're going to have a lot of difficulty falling asleep.
Right.
Okay. Some other individuals may experience cortisol peak earlier than that hour before waking. They may experience it at 3 a.m.
Right.
4 a.m. So these are individuals who are falling asleep okay, but then they're waking up at 3 and they can't get back to sleep.
Ooh, okay.
In those individuals, actually, melatonin doesn't work.
Right, okay.
Because melatonin is a sleep phase initiator. It helps you
to start the sleep phase.
It doesn't help to maintain it.
Okay.
Okay, wow. So then we have to be looking at other things to help lower that cortisol.
Right, okay. So cortisol is huge.
It's huge.
Okay, so we talked about all of these effects of low sleep and what happens to the body, but now how do we get better sleep? What are some things that we can do to get those extra hours of sleep that we need?
Waking up at the same time every day. It's hard. You don't want to do it. You just got to get over it and do it anyway.
Totally.
Okay. Get over that sort of that mental chatter that says, you know, one more minute. No, just get out of bed same time every day. It's really important to expose yourself to bright natural light, particularly first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Because bright light turns off melatonin and gets you going. So the blue light essentially wakes your brain up.
Okay.
And tells your brain, okay, we're operating, you know?
Yeah.
Exercise.
Yes.
And eating regularly, preferably early if possible.
So I'm just going to interrupt you there for a second. I've been not starting, but in my brotherhood, I have 5-minute morning workouts. I can't even know what I call them now. 5-minute morning workouts where they just do 5 minutes. It's just 3 exercises. And literally once you wake up, you have your water, come and hang out with the Funkster. And we'll do a follow along, 3 exercises, you know, 5 reps each. And we're just continually going for 5 minutes to wake the body up, wake everybody up. And a lot of guys seem to love that, man. It's just like even that's not their only workout. Like if it's a workout day, because we do work out like 3 to 4 days a week and then the rest
of
the rest. Some guys like to do that's the morning. That's how they wake up. That's what gets them going and just gets
the endorphins running. Yeah, for sure.
And then they may work out a little bit later if it's a workout day or not.
Yeah. But,
you know, I was doing that for a while and then I kind of stopped and then because I just been busy, but that used to be my massive routine and I still throw that in there once in a while, but the days I did that, massive difference in my productivity throughout the
day. Yeah.
Massive difference in the way I felt, massive difference in the way my body transformed during those times. Even if I worked out after or did what, every time I had that morning, 5 minutes, that's it. Just easy 5 minutes, wakes up the body. Yeah, I got to get back to you. I have three, I got to do more. Anyways, that was a side note.
Yeah. So exercising first thing in the morning has been shown to just improve energy faster so that you're less reliant on caffeine and
right.
Like that to get you going. And also eating, like important to eat regularly and preferably so intermittent fasting has profound benefits on blood sugar, but specifically insulin regulation.
Yeah.
But some people, what they do is they'll delay breakfast till 12, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
But then they're eating till 8, 9 p.m. So they're still eating within an 8-hour window.
Right.
But they're also eating 2 hours before bed.
Right. Yes. Yes.
And that is not ideal for sleep quality.
It's funny you say that because someone just emailed me or left a message in the group about they get home at about 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to go to bed at 9 and mm-hmm. don't want to eat. So they have they snack. And I tell them, you can't snack. You got to have a meal with carbs, proteins, whatever. So fats.
Yeah.
But they don't, they're afraid to do that. And they're not getting the results that they want. So I have like these sleep smoothies where they're just like some great, the actual ingredients enhance melatonin and enhance the micronutrients you get from these ingredients will enhance that sleep. Plus they'll get what they need to boost their testosterone and keep that testosterone production.
Yeah. So
like, listen, just have one of these smoothies. You know, it's light. It's not as heavy as actual food and it'll actually help boost that melatonin.
Particularly in individuals who are overweight or whose insulin is high. They're not pre-diabetic just yet, but they're showing signs of high insulin.
Yeah.
They benefit from having whey protein before bed.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Right? So if you combine a bit of whey with a bit of cherry juice, because we know that tart cherry juice contains melatonin, then that's a recipe for a good night's sleep.
Actually, that was in the smoothie that I'm about to post.
Oh, excellent. Oh, wonderful. Exactly. Okay.
That's awesome.
We're reinforcing a good thing.
Definitely.
And then, of course, I'm avoiding caffeine and alcohol.
Right.
Right. So how quickly we metabolize caffeine is genetically driven. So some people are fast metabolizers, others are slow metabolizers. So if you're a fast metabolizer, it's in and out of your body within a few hours. But slow metabolizers, it can be in your system for 8-10 hours. So if you had a coffee at lunchtime, well, that caffeine is still in your body 8-10 hours later.
Yeah. So a lot of the guys that are coming in when they first come in have slow metabolism just because of the lifestyle that they led, right?
Right, exactly.
So, but the guys who are 4 or 5 months in, their metabolism's starting to pop up. So the caffeine, they're like, oh, you know what, I'm gonna have a little bit of caffeine to help me with this before this workout, and they're able to still get that sleep because their whole lifestyle has changed, right?
Yeah. In fact, I would suggest having caffeine before a workout in the morning.
Yes, totally.
Because that can really improve your performance, right?
100%, 100%.
Minimizing exposure to blue light in the evenings.
Blue light meaning what?
Electronic screens.
Right.
Right, so a Harvard study found that an hour before bed of exposure to blue light is sufficient to delay melatonin production by 1 to 2 hours.
Yeah.
Right, so I think this could be like a plug for those old school alarm clocks. You know, the ones that are like wound up battery, because we're all using our phones moments before we're falling asleep to set our alarm.
Yeah.
And a few seconds of that kind of light exposure is enough to wake up the brain.
Totally. Yes, definitely. Right. Definitely.
And then lastly, I think my, you know, last tip that I would suggest for getting better sleep is when you take, so relaxing, a relaxing shower or a relaxing bath are both wonderful. Mm-hmm. However, if you're having a very hot bath or a very hot shower immediately before bed, that is not ideal for sleep.
Right.
Because you're raising body temperature.
And the body has to
cool down. The body needs to cool down in order to sleep. So that can really be interfering with that.
Yeah. Some of the other things is like, cooling down your room,
mm-hmm.
right? Keeping that room cool before, and so you're sleeping in a like 19 degrees Celsius or something. I don't know. I think it's 19 degrees, and then just
sleeping in the nude.
Yeah, exactly.
Sleeping
exactly.
In the nude. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And just your environment, just your bedroom.
Yes. You want to get out of the habit of associating your bed with work.
Yeah.
With checking emails, with doing anything that's distracting. Your bed is for sleep and sex.
Right. Exactly. SNS, baby. SNS.
SNS. Okay. So anything else, you get it out of there.
That's right. Yeah. I love it.
And then, of course, there are certain like supplements like magnesium. I'm a big proponent of using magnesium, particularly because, you know, the general population is magnesium insufficient or deficient. And we know that magnesium helps to lower cortisol and support melatonin production, right?
And testosterone too, baby.
Testosterone, exactly.
And testosterone. So yeah, magnesium's huge. We used to have a magnesium supplement. In fact, I'm going to bring it back into circulation.
Yeah.
Because
good.
It's a really good supplement, and it's really good to again for muscle, for testosterone, and for sleep.
Yeah.
Taking at night. This was good. This is really good. Any other little lasting sleep tips or anything?
Yeah, I think my last plug is, we can't cut corners. There's no cheat sheet for sleep. It's crucial, but you're ultimately responsible for the decisions that you make through the day. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And while certain supplements like melatonin could be helpful, they're not necessarily getting to the crux or the root cause of why you're not achieving deep sleep or restorative sleep. So they may be helpful in the short term, but ultimately you have to do the work.
Definitely. And the work meaning, you know, nutrition, exercise, keeping stress levels down.
Exactly.
Recovery, you know, getting that recovery and setting up your sleep environment, making sure that your sleep environment set up, making sure that you're not on your phones or on your computer before you go to sleep, making sure that your room is for S&S, sex and sleep. and the caffeine, the alcohol, all those other things that you can control. These are things you can control. Once you put that all together, and it seems like it's a tough task, right? It seems like, oh my God, you want me to do all of this all at once, but we don't. This is just
exactly
one at a time. Easy does it, right? One at a time, one thing at a time. Let's start with this. Let's start with this. I have, you know, a complete program that focuses specifically on what we're talking about to help you create that lifestyle. But it is the lifestyle that needs to be changed. You can't change it all at once, or else you'll just get overwhelmed and then you'll go back to what you're comfortable with.
That's right.
But it will be uncomfortable. It will be a little bit tough. You will have to tough out the fact that you got to go to bed late earlier and get up. Go to bed earlier and get up earlier, but get
That's
up at
right.
the time, all the time.
Exactly.
Get that 5-minute workout in the mornings to boost everything up. And get your, and for you shift workers out there, just, you know, planning, right? Making sure that we plan. The shift workers need to plan. They need to be prepared. The margin of error is smaller, so you can't just willy-nilly it. You really have to plan and prepare and be able to turn your body's clock back and forth and, you know, get into the habit and routine. But once you do that, you'll be fine, right? You'll be fine.
Yeah.
For those of you guys who have sleep apnea and sleep disorders, you know, it all comes down to losing weight or looking at your lifestyle.
Exactly.
Right? To make sure that your lifestyle that you have right now is actually not supporting your sleep disorder. Like, you know what I mean? Oh my God, I'm drinking a lot. I'm not exercising. I'm eating like shit. I'm stressed out. No wonder I have a sleep disorder. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one thing that I do, I just want to mention is some people say, well, I've been doing this for the last 10, 15 years. I never had this problem before.
Okay.
So something new must have arisen. And the fact of the matter is the body will buffer for so long before it can no longer buffer your bad habits, right? To give you an example, for instance, liver enzymes, when someone consumes a large amount of alcohol, they're not going to be high for a long time.
Right, right.
But then after, if you chronically abuse alcohol, after a while, the liver enzymes will come up and you won't be able to get away from the evidence, right? Same thing with blood sugar. Blood sugar will be normal for decades before you present with prediabetes. So you cannot say, well, I've been okay. I've been doing this. I've had these bad habits for my entire life. And then these are new symptoms. Your symptoms are a reflection that your body just does not like what you're doing.
Right. Right. That's huge. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, there you go, guys. That's it. I mean, you have everything you need to know about sleep and what's happening and why it's happening and how important it is, and then what you need to do in order to start turning that around. But the last thing you said is huge, because once again, I get emails from guys who are like, listen, my sleep has been great. I've been getting away with 4 hours every day for the last 7 years. Nothing has been whatever. And now all of a sudden, I haven't changed anything. What's going on? And that is gold in itself, because that just shows, oh, okay, maybe it's because I've been doing that for 7 years.
Exactly.
And now it's like, okay, now it's hitting me.
That's right.
You know what? It's like when you're in your 20s and you got away with eating McDonald's and, you know, going to the gym for 2 hours and or partying all the time and still staying, having a high metabolism. Then all of a sudden when you're 30, it's like, wait a minute, I've been getting away with it for all these years. How come it's just hitting me now? Dude.
Exactly. And then lastly, for my, you know, as a plug for women, and this is, please, men supporting women's sleep, is if you allow your partner to sleep for one extra hour, you're more likely to have, she'll more likely want to have sex with you the next day.
Okay. One extra hour. Let them sleep. You get up early and do the 5 minute with the funkster and get your day going and get your day planned out. Let the wife sleep or the girlfriend sleep for an extra hour, then go and wake up.
And then you'll get your reward. You'll get your
reward. That's awesome. Dr. D, how do people connect with you? Instagram, give us
Instagram,
your
Facebook.
What's your Instagram?
It's handled at Dr. Dominica_ND.
Dr. Dominica_ND. N is in Nancy, D is in Dominica.
That's right, as a naturopathic doctor, yeah.
Okay. And then what about Facebook? Same thing?
No. Facebook, same thing. Dr. Dominica is just a naturopathic doctor.
Okay.
And you can't miss me.
What else? Where else? Like, what, you have a website?
I've got it. Actually, my website's under construction, peaknd.com.
Yeah.
You can find me at wealth. Yourwealth.ca.
Yourwealth.ca, and that's
for
you guys.
Yeah.
For you guys in Toronto who are listening to this, where that's on
Church. Main intersection is Church and Adelaide.
Church and Adelaide. Your Wealth. Go there and hook up with. That's an amazing place in itself. So much goes on. A really high end pharmacy and doctors, and there's so much.
I get to collaborate with, our in-house pharmacists. So for my male patients who are on medication that we suspect may be disrupting their sleep, I get to sit down with our in-house pharmacist, Stacy, and we hash out, treatment plan. What can we do? Is it a dose adjustment? Is it a supplement inclusion? Is it routine changes? Whatever. We collaborate together to help patient achieve his best health.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. Get your sleep and look up Dr. D for more awesome info. And thanks so much, Dr. D. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode and got a lot of information from there that you can start using right away. Please make sure that you give this a 5-star rating and download this and send it to your friends. Also, if you haven't yet, please join the Over 40 Alpha Brotherhood for free. If you go to over40alpha.com/7-day trial, join for free and get workouts, nutrition, recovery, mindset, everything you need to get into the best shape of your life. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you in the next episode. Get it done.
You've been listening to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast, hosted by Funk Roberts, former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer and best-selling author, bringing you the best information to help you get into the best shape and health of your life in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Join us for another podcast.